WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Building a home or fixing up a home is under new pressure. With Trump tariffs taking effect today on kitchen cabinets, bathroom vanities, upholstered furniture, lumber, the White House admits prices may rise, but says it's ultimately going to be borne by foreign exporters. Market futures pointing to a lower opening on Wall Street today. Help wanted, but not found. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
A survey conducted by a major industry group finds that 32% of small businesses had job openings that they could not fill last month. The NFIB monthly jobs report shows that 88% of those companies found few or no qualified candidates for positions they had posted.
First Israel, next Ukraine. President Trump has a White House meeting this week with President Volodymyr Zelensky. The U.S. considering giving Ukraine long-range missiles capable of reaching Moscow, hoping to give Putin pause on Russian ambitions. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A recent National Highway Traffic Safety Administration study found that Wisconsin has one of the highest rates of fatal crashes involving police pursuits. According to the study, 11 of the 535 fatal crashes in the state in 2023 involved a police pursuit, which is a little over 2% of those crashes. The Wisconsin State Patrol's policy is to only engage in a pursuit if it can be done without creating unreasonable danger to the public. State troopers will often allow a fleeing suspect to escape for safety before tracking them down afterwards. The Wisconsin Humane Society says shelters across the state are overwhelmed with cats, and they're looking for community support to manage the uptick. Officials say the Humane Society alone is currently caring for over 1,000 cats across the state, and many individual shelters are struggling to keep up with limited resources. They're asking residents to consider adopting or fostering a cat, volunteering their time to assist at their local shelter, or informing their friends and families of the situation. The Humane Society is also accepting monetary donations. The town of Hayward will begin imposing fines for fire code violations after revisiting its fire protection and inspection ordinance. The town board voted unanimously to approve the additional fines and to give the fire chief and inspectors more authority to enforce it. Under the updated ordinance, building owners with fire code violations could be subject to fines of $10 to $100 per day until the violations are addressed. All of the roughly 225 buildings in the town are inspected twice a year. The United Way of Rice Lake will kick off a fundraising campaign this week with the goal of raising over $76,000 by the end of the year. The campaign will launch at the Business After Hours event hosted on Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. by the Rice Lake Chamber of Commerce. The organization's annual Holly Auction, the major fundraising event of the campaign, will be held on December 3rd at Turtleback Golf Center. The funding will go towards supporting local partner agencies providing services like food assistance and mental health support. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Game two in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Brewers and Dodgers tonight at American Family Field in the National League Championship. The Dodgers taking game one last night, final score 2-1, but a crazy play in the fourth inning. The Brewers' Sal Frelick in center field. Dodgers slugger Max Muncy at the plate. Bases loaded. Brian Anderson with a call on TBS.
And Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, but he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. Goes out. He's out.
Frelick preventing a grand slam at the wall. The first 8-6-2 double play in baseball playoff history. Frelick after the game.
The ball kind of tipped off my glove, and then I just kind of saw it floating there, so I grabbed it and just fired it into Joey.
NBA, the Bucks hosting the Thunder tonight in Milwaukee in their final preseason game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Other Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy, and a high around 57. Rain is likely tonight. We'll see a low around 38, becoming mostly sunny on Wednesday, a high of 57. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high near 60.
It's 30 at our studios.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser. And then comedy sports director Mike Kauf joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, October 14th. Still ahead, we will be talking to Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior. There's been a little bit of chatter about Superior Days, which is a big lobbying effort by folks up in far northwest Wisconsin who go all the way down to Madison and visit with not just their state legislators, but legislators from all around the state to say, hey, don't forget about us up north. And here are some of our priorities and things that we hope you can support. And there may be some that think that after 40 years, what was once a novel idea has kind of run its course. Does the mayor of Superior agree with that? We'll ask him coming up at the bottom of this hour. We'll be talking to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander. And we will be talking to James Kelly from Civic Media from the newsroom in Chippewa Falls about stories that he's following. And Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2. And as always, we invite you to join us with your questions or comments. Or recipes. It's National Dessert Day, so we're happy to find out what you really like. You can also ring us up at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the text feature on the Civic Media app. You can also use the voice note feature on the Civic Media app to leave us a little voice message as well. Wisconsin is waking up today with news, Parker, that the Milwaukee Brewers ran into an absolute buzzsaw in Dodgers pitcher Blake Snell, who, except for one little blip, was coming really close to pitching a perfect game and did face the minimum number of batters through 8 innings, which hasn't happened since Don Larsen pitched a perfect game in the World Series for the Yankees in 1956. This guy was just that good. He put the pitches right where he wanted them, and the Brewer batters, probably the better word here, could not solve it. And like you were saying, it was, again, you don't like to see a pitcher's duel if you're looking for action in a baseball game. But if you're a bit of a purist for a second, you can appreciate what kind of a game this guy threw.
It was fun to watch. I hate that he doesn't play for us. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, he is. Now, the Brewers did put up a threat in the ninth inning, got the bases loaded, scored one run, but the Dodgers had already scored two, unfortunately, and so 2-1 was the final. So the Dodgers go up one game to love in the best of 7 National League Championship Series, which resumes this evening at American Family Field. Pregame coverage for Game 2 starts at 6:30 on several Civic Media radio stations. Freddie Peralta will take to the mound. And if the Dodgers announce their starter, I don't have it in front of me. But here's the point. His name is not Blake Snell.
Thank
you. So we're good. Fernando Valenzuela has passed away, so he's not getting up there on the mound for them. I believe Clayton Kershaw, is he like still in the, is he in the bullpen? Is he?
I don't know what he is doing right now, but he is still with them. He might be starting for all I know. I'm looking right now to see.
All right. Well, while you do that, I'll tell you that Rob says good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 45 degrees. We've got a very beautiful sunrise, he said. Yesterday, I picked up a mowing job. It was 72 in Tigerton after the sun came out yesterday afternoon. He said, today I got paperwork from the state to do so that I can get it faxed in on Wednesday. In case you're ever wondering who still uses a fax machine, I'll tell you who. The State Department of Revenue still does. There was once upon a time, we're now going back 20 some years, right before my time in the legislature. And for a short time, we had somebody come in and clean the house. We had two kids at the time. We both had busy jobs and we thought, well, let's give this a try. So for a while, we had a wonderful person who came in. And of course, us being a couple of firstborns, and me thinking about maybe, you know, first off, I was already a TV anchor and I thought, well, what if I ever run for election or something? So you wanted to do this by the book. And so this was not a, you know, cash under the table kind of thing. It was, I went through all the paperwork to get a, whatever it was called that at the time, a business identification number or something, and follow all the steps that any business would to make sure that you're paying somebody, but you're also paying your share of like the payroll taxes or whatever. And that experience helped me understand how people become Republicans, how they become, you know, small government conservatives that want to, you know, blow up the whole system and put, you know, put your income tax form on a postcard. Now, I happen to know and still appreciate that life is not that simple, and that you actually need to have these kinds of rules and standards for a reason. But it's also why I'm the first person to say, you know, these rules and standards and things, they should be examined every so often so that a small business operator doesn't just throw up their hands and go, I give up. I'm just not even going to try to follow the rules, because it was the most Byzantine thing I've ever had to deal with. You can't get a live body if you need help. Now, again, I'm talking 15 plus years ago, so things might be different now.
Now you can have an AI chatbot help.
Yeah. So, right. So when Rob says he's doing paperwork from the state today for his lawn mowing, Rob, I hope it's going well. I wish you all the luck in the world, because I've been in your shoes, and it is not easy to play by the rules. It ultimately is the better thing to do, but boy, sometimes they do not make it easy to be a small business person nowadays. I would just be happy if we wouldn't have to do that if we had a more progressive taxation system, one that, you know, actually taxed people, you know, who were making seven-figure incomes, you know, a little higher percentage than the person who's got a lawn mowing business. But instead, we've got a system set up now where you to play by the rules is rather onerous, as other people kind of skate on their duties, because we have, since 2011 or so, we've had governments in place that have very much been about taxing the middle class while giving breaks to those at the very top. And the latest example of that can be seen in Milwaukee now, where the mayor is proposing raising what's called the wheel tax. And he wants to raise that fee to $40, which would generate an additional $2.5 million in revenue. It is not a wheel tax like taxing, you know, the tires on your car. It's a vehicle fee, and it is currently on top of the state registration cost, which is $85 to get your tabs for your license plate, and then plus whatever it is that you pay at the local level. Well, as of 2025, that's now 51 different municipalities and 14 different counties. And all of those wheel taxes generate more than $60 million in revenue. And there is a very honest debate to be had about whether there should be a wheel tax. Now, this is not something that was, you know, recently created. The ability for local governments in Wisconsin to assess a wheel tax has been around since 1967, but it's really exploded since 2010. And here's why. Prior to the takeover of the current Republican Party in Wisconsin after the 2010 elections, you know, when Scott Walker came into office and others, prior to that, Democrats, Republicans alike understood the function of state government and its role to be supportive in the state's infrastructure, in the state's education, and the other things that a state can do when you have 5 million people, now what, coming up on 6 million people, when you can pool those resources, you can do so much for having some of the best roads in the nation, some of the best universities in the nation. You can try to have the best technical colleges in the nation. You can protect your natural resources. And starting in 2011 or so, you had a party that's been in control of the legislature ever since that lives and dies by one creed, austerity. You know, just a way for saying, you know, shrinking government, but they're not really shrinking government. They're all about passing the buck. They're all about kicking the can. And in this case, it's often been to the local units of government. We have talked so much about it from an education standpoint. The reason that you're seeing all these school referendums now, I mean, it's not that complicated. It's because the legislature got lazy. Lazy legislators controlled by Republicans since 2011 have decided that they don't want to pay fully what had been the state's share for public education. It's better to vilify public education and then kick the can down to the school boards and say, here, you want more money? Well, why don't you ask the local property taxpayers to hike their own taxes? And so that's what has had to happen because the legislators say, it's not our problem anymore. We don't feel like supporting everyone in the state. We'd rather just take care of our people. Similarly, for local municipal governments, it's also been a case of, you know, you guys can go to referendum if you want more money, or better yet, you've got this ability to levy a wheel tax. So you guys go ahead and you take the heat for jacking up costs for people who operate cars. Now, again, they didn't create the wheel tax, and there is a debate to be had about whether there is a role for a wheel tax if a local entity wants better roads, bigger projects, they can assess a wheel tax. Similarly, counties can levy a local county sales tax, and it can either be for a one-time project or more likely something that is, you know, running perpetually to, again, make up for a lazy legislature that wants to do everything possible to say, well, we are shrinking government at our end. When things aren't really shrinking, they're just not holding up their end of the deal and passing the buck to the local units of government, the school boards, the county boards, the city councils, and to the local taxpayers. And that's why you have instances like the Milwaukee mayor, and Cavalier Johnson is now going to take a lot of heat for proposing a higher wheel tax. But again, he's not alone. There are municipalities all over the state, ranging from, here's Boscobel that charges a wheel tax of $10. Meanwhile, you've got Janesville that charges $40, and all kinds of numbers in between on all these different municipalities and counties that do this. When the right answer would be for a state legislature that collects income taxes, which are more progressive. The wealthier you are, you pay a higher percentage than somebody who's, you know, a factory worker or a teacher or a firefighter, and then be able to divvy that out rather than saying, well, the wheel tax that somebody pays for their old beater is the same wheel tax as somebody pays for, you know, their brand new convertible. And good luck to you on that. We frankly deserve better than that. But for now, we have the system that we have. And that's why you have the mayor proposing his wheel tax. And in a little bit, we're going to talk to Superior Mayor Jim Payne about, you know, the budget situation up there. And we're also going to talk about Superior Days, the lobbying effort down in Madison, where folks from Northwest Wisconsin go on down there and talk about the ways that the state budget does or does not take care of priorities in our state. All right. Well, again, we've mentioned that the Brewers fall to the Dodgers 2-1, and game two will be coming up this evening, 6:30. Pregame coverage begins on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. Some folks are going to have a local break coming up. Others are going to stick around while we talk to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12. And we're going to talk a little hunting when we come back. And Superior Mayor Jim Payne in about 15 minutes. From Eric up north, live from Lake Wasota. Thanks for listening. And for the beer warnings, I'm Patrick. So this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For some, the hunt has already begun. Others are getting ready. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And if you're successful in your hunt, you might be thinking about how you can use that meat. One of our Wisconsin meat science experts gives you suggestions. Next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar is one of our University Extension meat specialists, and he says for those of you that are looking to extend the life of the meat that you harvest, jerky is a very good option. And he's got some suggestions about the basic do's if you want to make your own jerky.
Slice jerky to a good thickness, typically about a quarter inch thick is ideal. And a lot of people like to take whole pieces of meat, put them into a freezer for a little bit to firm things up, and then slice. And if you have a really good sharp knife, you can absolutely do this by hand. You just have to be a little careful and take your time. And then get some salt, get some sugar, maybe some spices if you like maybe some black pepper, maybe some red pepper, maybe some ginger or garlic. Mix those with the jerky and allow that jerky to absorb that. And then you want to go through some cooking and drying process.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar, University Extension meat specialist, with some suggestions on what you can do with that harvested meat. Jerky, a good option. And don't forget, there's all kinds of flavors. Just take a look at what's available at your local grocery store. One very popular flavor, teriyaki. And that's simply using soy sauce.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
And another case of high-path avian influenza has been detected in a backyard poultry flock in Racine County. The birds have all been depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection reminding all livestock owners and anyone that owns birds to practice good biosecurity measures as migratory birds pass over Wisconsin as they head south. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Other Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy and a high around 57. Rain is likely tonight. We'll see a low around 38, becoming mostly sunny on Wednesday, a high of 57. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high near 60.
Currently 33 degrees.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll talk a little bit about fighting authoritarianism and why Ken Burns, the great historian, has it right. And also, the Brew Crew and the NLCS. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You know, except for like contests, you know.
How I know
many people aren't
person.
Wearing them unironically, put it that way.
Yeah, I know one person with a mullet. And he bowls. He's in my bowling league.
That's awesome.
What do I always say? There wouldn't be stereotypes if some people didn't insist on living up to them. That's exactly where we find ourselves these days. So, that's good. So there it is right at the top at WJFW.com is Phillips Boy recounts his exciting national mullet competition victory. And that boys and girls, that is a fine looking mullet right there. Good for him.
Didn't the Brewers have a mullet thing like 2 or 3 years ago? Wasn't there like a summer of the mullet on the Brewers?
Oh, probably. Yeah. Oh. Yep. Let's see what else we got going on here. You had the Cronenwetter Fire Department had an open house day for the community. You had the Neighbors Place holding their annual Empty Bowls fundraiser. Nicolet College hosts their Indigenous Peoples Day celebration.
So here, Mayor Doug Dinney in Wausau, you remember the ballot box escapade?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yep.
Yep. So he's finally going in front of the ethics board of the city for that when he removed that unilaterally.
Yeah. I believe, has he met with the ethics board? I think, did that just happen?
Yeah. So on Friday, he went in front of the ethics board. The hearing took the entire day. Multiple people testified, including the mayor. And so they are going to make a determination soon on whether he violated the ethics code of conduct.
All right. So there we go. So we'll follow that up with you and, of course, with our friend Chad Holmes at 98.9 WXCO as well. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour. But again, for all the details of what else is happening in the Northwoods, you can tune into Newswatch 12 WJFW, where you will find Dan Hagen at WJFW.com. Fresh off his half marathon, which only is going to empower him for more pickleball still ahead as
That's
well.
That's right. And I'm going to be showing you a buck picture next Tuesday. You can count on it.
Excellent. There All right. Go. Good luck. Thank you, Dan. Have a great
Thank
day.
You.
All right, Superior Mayor Jim Payne on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For some, the hunt has already begun. Others are getting ready. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And if you're successful in your hunt, you might be thinking about how you can use that meat. One of our Wisconsin meat science experts gives you suggestions next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar is one of our University Extension meat specialists, and he says for those of you that are looking to extend the life of the meat that you harvest, jerky is a very good option. And he's got some suggestions about the basic do's if you want to make your own jerky.
Slice jerky to a good thickness, typically about a quarter inch thick is ideal. And a lot of people like to take whole pieces of meat, put them into a freezer for a little bit to firm things up, and then slice. And if you have a really good sharp knife, you can absolutely do this by hand. You just have to be a little careful and take your time. And then get some salt, get some sugar, maybe some spices if you like maybe some black pepper, maybe some red pepper, maybe some ginger or garlic. Mix those with the jerky and allow that jerky to absorb that. And then you want to go through some cooking and drying process.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar, University Extension meat specialist, with some suggestions on what you can do with that harvested meat. Jerky, a good option. And don't forget, there's all kinds of flavors. Just take a look at what's available at your local grocery store. One very popular flavor, teriyaki, and that's simply using soy sauce.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist Corn Team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
And another case of high-path avian influenza has been detected in a backyard poultry flock in Racine County. The birds have all been depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection reminding all livestock owners and anyone that owns birds to practice good biosecurity measures as migratory birds pass over Wisconsin as they head south. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
In today's newsletter from Up North News, you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Cabin getaways in the fall. That's a topic that's been studied by National Travel Group. They rank some of the best fall cabin getaways in the country. Several sites in Wisconsin are on that list. You can read all about it in the newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. You can also sign up for our Sunday morning politics newsletter, including our question of the week. A whole lot of responses in already, talking about test drilling in the North Woods for precious metals. And the question is, do you support mining in Wisconsin's North Woods? Either yes, unconditionally, yes, but only if it's strictly regulated, no, not at all. And again, the first people to get that on Sunday mornings are the people who subscribe to our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Time to go way up north with Superior Mayor Jim Payne. Talk about some of the issues that we're hearing about in the northwestern corner of the state. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Pat?
Very good. And you are joining us actually from Madison this morning because, again, the work of mayors and local government officials everywhere occasionally involves those treks to Madison to remind people, hey, we're up here too. Don't forget about us.
I try to get as many in before it snows as I can. Yes. When it's only a 5-hour drive.
Yeah, only at that point. I recall, you know, some of the legislators that I served with. I know one who regularly flew, but others who would make that long drive. And, you know, you hear a lot of books on tape.
Or that's true. Yeah.
You know, or if you've got the hands-free device, you can make a lot of calls. But those are some long trips, absolutely. And we're gonna, in fact, let's start with the Superior Days, which is kind of an annual lobbying trek from the Superior area down to the state capitol. And it's been going on for, I believe, 41 years now. And so I remember when it first happened, and it was very new and novel. And you now have groups from other parts of the state. There's the Chippewa Valley Rally and others who come have all kinds of local civic and business leaders come to the state capitol and let legislators from throughout the state know more about that area. Is it something that is still, A, is it still happening with regularity? And B, do you continue to see value in it?
Yes, it still happens every single year in the springtime, most of the time as early as February, but we've experimented with some other times. This coming spring will be our 41st year, and because we did manage a very abbreviated version during the pandemic year of 2021, we've had consistency, and so even when it was very challenging to get down here, we still made some sort of a presence.
And does it make a difference? I mean, you have an area up there that is strongly Democratic, ranging from Superior, Ashland, Bayfield, Bad River, some of that area, and then a whole lot of rural area south of there that is predominantly Republican. And Superior Days is advertised as this bipartisan way to come together and talk about the area's priorities. Do you feel like it's still serving value that way?
Absolutely. I think you described it well. You know, if you just look at election results, these northern counties are very blue. But, you know, even when we're turning in 70% for Democratic candidates, that's 30% of the population that's still voting for Republicans. And when we bring a group of about 100 people to Superior Days, up to 50% of those people or more might actually be Republicans or right of center, you know. And so coming together to agree on issues that matter to all of us seems very challenging, but we manage it every single year. And more than just what we're bringing to the Capitol and educating people down here, a lot of us are the ones being educated, because even among two or three legislative issues, many of the delegates will really only be joining for one that matters to them, but they're learning about the others. So it's folks from the business community learning about the crisis in education funding, or students in the high school learning how local government revenue works and why that matters to them. And it may only be 1 to 3 days down here, but those are issues that they're now fluent on throughout the political conversations the entire session.
We are talking with Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior, and talking a bit about Superior Days. And part of the reason I wanted to bring it up is that a former Republican state representative from that area, Angie Sapik, made some comments to Wisconsin Public Radio while promoting a book, which seems rather odd after one term in the assembly, but all about politics. And the person asking the questions made note that she had been absent for the 2 years of Superior Days while she was in office. Now, she did say that it has been a positive thing for everybody. She did talk about, you know, family commitments and things like that. But what really stuck out to me was her line that said, "I think they are going to cancel Superior Days in the future because it's just not as effective as it was in the very beginning." Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment?
Well, it's certainly been more effective than she ever was in the legislature. She never accomplished anything. And Superior Days has a very lengthy list of accomplishments. Generally, every single year, we're checking off some accomplishments. Maybe we don't get all the bills we want passed out of the legislature, but we meet with agencies as well throughout the governor's administration. That's multiple governors of both parties. But really, she wouldn't know the effectiveness of Superior. She has never been. She's never been to a single meeting about it up north or down in Madison, where we're having the conversations, not just with legislators, but with each other about what matters to us and how we can make a better community. So we're explaining to Madison how they can help us, but we're also meeting amongst ourselves. This is leaders and citizens from across the north, but especially Superior and Douglas County, talking about how we can improve our own communities. We gather in one space and do the work of politics together, which is the only way it's ever gotten done. So it was pretty offensive to hear somebody that thought of herself as one of our representatives that refused to represent us, that refused to even have conversations about what actually mattered to the people she was supposed to be representing.
Yeah, I also took issue with another line from the interview where she talked about the gerrymandering of the lines back and forth. The lines weren't gerrymandered back and forth. They were gerrymandered once to remove all Democratic representation from a heavily Democratic area. And then with the fair maps, once again, you had Democratic representation from the area. So I just felt a need to correct on the record. Gerrymandering, while both parties have done it over history, in this particular case, it was done one way and finally undone to make things, shall we say, a bit more representative for Northwest Wisconsin.
I mean, at least fair, you know, the way the 73rd Assembly District, that's one we're talking about, was drawn, it was the textbook actual definition of gerrymandering. It looked like a salamander and it looked like a giant monster, and it had the effect it was intended to have. When Angie Sapik was elected, you saw this very strange thing happen in the actual turnout. The closer you got to her actual home where she lived, the worse she performed. She had to pick up votes from as far away as possible from people that didn't actually know her and only voted on a purely partisan basis. She could have never won an election when there was an actual opponent and people actually knew the candidates.
We're talking to Superior Mayor Jim Payne. We were speaking earlier about wheel taxes in the state and how some municipalities have felt the need to either adopt one or increase one, and all of the other funding challenges that come with local units of government. We're getting to that time of year. Where are things for the city of Superior and the budget that you're hoping to have adopted for the next year, and how that might have been impacted by things like the new state budget that recently passed?
I just released my budget this last week, and it does propose a minor levy decrease. It's actually not that minor. It comes up to 1.55%, which won't make a huge difference for people, but it won't be raising their city tax bills. Now, they still have a pretty significant tax levy and likely an increasing one from the school district, because this last budget continued to fail to fix the school funding formula. And so the state is not adequately funding our schools, which means that taxpayers are. Now, as a mayor, I don't have a lot of control over that except through vehicles like Superior Days, but I didn't want us to be part of the problem. So our levy will go down even while we're continuing to make increased investments in public safety and infrastructure.
And you're also working on, and we've spoken before about Connect Superior, and again, setting up a unique project that includes public investment in infrastructure for telecommunications so that private industries can come in and better serve the residents of Superior. We spoke last time about the ongoing construction and expansion of that network. Let's talk for a minute about, you know, who's actually going to be using the network, the, you know, the prospect for competition, because if I saw correctly, you've got a new company that is looking to provide services on that network.
Yeah, that's right. There's actually been significant expansion since the last time we talked about it. First, we entered an entire new neighborhood. Superior's, a large part of Superior's North End is now lit up and can be connected to Connect Superior. But yeah, Norvado is joining the network. We just signed the agreement last week, and it's a well-established internet service provider, but they also provide things like phone and cable TV service. So for those folks that wanted to get off of Charter but were relying on these other services beyond just connecting to the internet, they now have another option. So we're not just adding more people to the market, it's expanding the market itself. You can now purchase more services from Connect Superior. So we expect it to continue to grow pretty rapidly.
And in case I glossed it over too much, if people didn't hear our last conversation, and they wonder, you know, why are we talking about Superior? Because this is something you might want to adopt in your own hometown. Can you briefly give the overview of what Connect Superior is and how it's different from anything else that has been tried in Wisconsin so far?
Yeah, the legislature several years ago made it very, very difficult, next to impossible, for municipalities to create their own internet networks because they wanted to protect private monopolies. We got around that by only building the network. We don't sell the internet to anybody. We just own the wires themselves, that fiber that connects to your house. Then that creates an actual, like a super highway that internet service providers can all operate on. And so as a customer, I'm a customer. I can go online. I can choose from any of the now three providers and any of the packages that they offer with a single click of a button. I don't give a credit card. I don't put a ton of information down. And I am just connected almost immediately. And I can change just as easily. So it's the private sector competing on public infrastructure, which is, I think, the best relationship between it gives you the competition and the innovation that the private sector can provide with the public security of public infrastructure.
Right, and the you know, the more reliable service that can come when it's the public that owns the infrastructure itself. And that takes us finally briefly to the water utility. We've talked before about Superior has the only privately owned water utility in the state. You recently started the process of having a consultant study whether city taxpayers should once again own their own water utility. Is that process underway now?
It is. Yeah, we've had the first meeting on it, and it's developing very quickly. I think a lot of people were alarmed to see the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission has authorized the sale of our water, our utility, to a private international corporation, BlackRock. So we are still the only place on Lake Superior where that water is sold at profit, which is historically treated as something you do not do with Great Lakes water. Well, that's happening in Superior, Wisconsin. We're the only people in Wisconsin that don't own our own water. Now, we're also exploring the electric and gas utilities as well. So we're underway.
So consultant looking into that, and we'll get updates from Superior Mayor Jim Payne. Mayor, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And safe travels back up from Madison as well. We'll keep things rolling here in our 8 o'clock hour with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana versus Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Building a home or fixing up a home is under new pressure. With Trump tariffs taking effect today on kitchen cabinets, bathroom vanities, upholstered furniture, lumber, the White House admits prices may rise, but says it's ultimately going to be borne by foreign exporters. Market futures pointing to a lower opening on Wall Street today. Help wanted, but not found. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
A survey conducted by a major industry group finds that 32% of small businesses had job openings that they could not fill last month. The NFIB monthly jobs report shows that 88% of those companies found few or no qualified candidates for positions they had posted.
First Israel, next Ukraine. President Trump has a White House meeting this week with President Volodymyr Zelensky. The U.S. considering giving Ukraine long-range missiles capable of reaching Moscow, hoping to give Putin pause on Russian ambitions. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A recent National Highway Traffic Safety Administration study found that Wisconsin has one of the highest rates of fatal crashes involving police pursuits. According to the study, 11 of the 535 fatal crashes in the state in 2023 involved a police pursuit, which is a little over 2% of those crashes. The Wisconsin State Patrol's policy is to only engage in a pursuit if it can be done without creating unreasonable danger to the public. State troopers will often allow a fleeing suspect to escape for safety before tracking them down afterwards. The Wisconsin Humane Society says shelters across the state are overwhelmed with cats, and they're looking for community support to manage the uptick. Officials say the Humane Society alone is currently caring for over 1,000 cats across the state, and many individual shelters are struggling to keep up with limited resources. They're asking residents to consider adopting or fostering a cat, volunteering their time to assist at their local shelter, or informing their friends and families of the situation. The Humane Society is also accepting monetary donations. The town of Hayward will begin imposing fines for fire code violations after revisiting its fire protection and inspection ordinance. The town board voted unanimously to approve the additional fines and to give the fire chief and inspectors more authority to enforce it. Under the updated ordinance, building owners with fire code violations could be subject to fines of $10 to $100 per day until the violations are addressed. All of the roughly 225 buildings in the town are inspected twice a year. The United Way of Rice Lake will kick off a fundraising campaign this week with the goal of raising over $76,000 by the end of the year. The campaign will launch at the Business After Hours event hosted on Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. by the Rice Lake Chamber of Commerce. The organization's annual Holly Auction, the major fundraising event of the campaign, will be held on December 3rd at Turtleback Golf Center. The funding will go towards supporting local partner agencies providing services like food assistance and mental health support. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Game 2 in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Brewers and Dodgers tonight at American Family Field in the National League Championship. The Dodgers taking Game 1 last night, final score 2-1, but a crazy play in the fourth inning. The Brewers' Sal Frelick in center field. Dodgers slugger Max Muncy at the plate. Bases loaded. Brian Anderson with a call on TBS.
And Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, but he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. No, he's out. He's out.
Frelick preventing a grand slam at the wall. The first 8-6-2 double play in baseball playoff history. Frelick after the game.
The ball kind of tipped off my glove, and then I just kind of saw it floating there, so I grabbed it and just fired it into Joey.
NBA, the Bucks hosting the Thunder tonight in Milwaukee in their final preseason game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Other Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy and a high around 57. Rain is likely tonight. We'll see a low around 38, becoming mostly sunny on Wednesday, a high of 57. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high near 60. Currently 33 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
What's up with all the MAGAs claiming that they're such great Christians and claiming that America was founded as a Christian nation? I debunk all of these myths starting at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report. Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9